Hey, we've got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and I want to welcome to the studio and to the microphone Crystal from the Karioi Project. Good morning.
Good morning, kia ora.
So, the Karioi Project, you are co-presenting Science Night tonight, are you?
Well, we've joined with the Environment Centre, which is always an awesome night when we do these things together. Mm. And we had this great speaker from the New Zealand Penguin Initiative that we've been doing a bit of work with. And she's coming to tell us about the Little Blues because they're the experts, and just telling that story. And it's a great night to just do a bit of socializing together. Are you going to come?
Probably.
You were there last month, weren't you?
Unless I fall asleep first.
Yeah. So it's going to be cool. Just a bit of a, you know, information night and a bit of a social night. And I think Jasmine's got a few snacks and
usually
things,
yeah,
you know?
She actually provides quite well.
Yeah. I mean our Jasmine, but the Jasmines will supply
okay, yes.
snacks.
It's a double Jasmine night.
Yeah, it's a double Jasmine. It's yeah.
Sounds like some new species of plant. did you guys as the Karioi Project get in touch with them because you had penguins nesting and you're trying to look after them?
No, they actually, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. I think last year they got in touch with us because they are trying to, I guess, connect all the groups around New Zealand that are working with the little blue penguins or little penguins. Yeah. And that's their passion. And then they provide support in terms of monitoring information and tools and sometimes training. So we've just connected with them, and Georgia and I met with them last year. And so they connected and said, hey, we'd be keen to come out. And we said, oh, why don't you come and do this talk? So, yeah, it's really cool.
So they're vulnerable, aren't they, the way they nest? It's
yeah,
not like they go
super
up trees.
Vulnerable.
They don't go up trees, they're penguins.
Yeah, and also they come to land every night. So like our seabirds, the grey-faced petrel that comes here, obviously, they only come during the breeding season and then they're off at sea for, you know, a good part of the year. But these guys come back and forth all the time.
They sleep on land.
Yeah, they come back at night.
How does the oi sleep? Just sitting in the sea?
Yeah, sits on the water.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, so yeah.
Well, maybe they use their autopilot.
Well, they probably have an autopilot, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So super vulnerable. I'm surprised there's any left at all.
Yeah, well, there are still some significant roosting sites, like everywhere, like it down the coast in the South Island.
Yeah.
And they're actually dotted around everywhere. But they are also still here, which is really exciting. But they are a super small bird. And like only like the weight of like a thing of butter, like 500 grams,
a pound of butter.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, half a kilo, I'd call it.
So how tall do they stand?
They're just like tiny.
Are they all fluff? Like, mostly consist of fluff.
Well, it's they've got kind of an interesting feather kind of system. You know, it's got a very waterproof kind of. They look really streamlined. They don't look fluffy.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're half bird, half fish in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
not biologically, but the way they live.
Mm.
But I presume there's a lot of down underneath, like insulation
and waterproof. Yeah, insulation. So, yeah, they're pretty cool, and
they're pretty similar to a seal, really, aren't they? Mm-hmm. It's like a different type of seal that came from a different.
Yeah.
Different evolutionary path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually, Aaron. I'm just saying yes, but
I'm describing. Well, no, I don't know either, but I'm describing what I look at.
What you're seeing.
I'm not
yeah.
the science expert, so I can get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, pretty cool bird. We have them all the way from our beach to. We've seen breeding sites all the way from the beach and to Manu Bay, and different sites in between, and as you know, most people will know, like, all those areas are prone to, you know, big wave impact. They breed low down on the coast, although they can climb higher up. Most of the ones that we're finding are very low down, often in areas where there is erosion, and we've seen cliffs, you know, fall down and erode down and the nests disappear. But they do come back and they'll make a new nest. And you can kind of, you know, we find places where they're roosting because you can see from the guano and the mess that they leave. They're really smelly birds. So if they're in a burrow, you know they're there. They're really smelly. And we know of at least three chicks that have fledged, probably four. One of them was a twin.
Okay.
And we saw them pull right through to the end of the, you know, fledging, kind
of
fledging
time. Do they normally just have one chick?
They have one or two.
One or two.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kind of downside of it is that they, again, like, you know, vulnerable to predation, like all our birds. And also, you know, we've kind of gone in because they don't tend to burrow too deep. We've even once seen like an area where pigs have got in and have dug them out.
Oh, right.
And found like the little bodies, which are pretty sad. Mm-hmm. Where they, you know, the pigs will smell them and dig out the eggs and that. So,
yeah,
or dogs as well.
I know, because they're so smelly, the dogs are just, they'll know they're there from miles away.
Oh, yeah, and also coming on land. So we've had people bring in dead bodies. Like we've had one carcass that we've taken in for post-mortem and they identified the bite marks of dogs in the neck. So we know.
Just, like,
they just attack them, yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah, we just have to be really careful that we're controlling our dogs and ideally just staying away from that side of the beach is really a good idea. And they come in, you know, at dusk and then leave early in the morning. So if you're a late or early walker, staying away from that south end of the beach and not letting your dogs roam loose around
frightened?
That coastal.
Are they frightened of us or do they just kind of bumble their way up the beach into trouble?
They do bumble, but so we were at Tiritiri, Matangi, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so, and we spend the night there as a team, which is pretty cool. It's an offshore island near on the east coast of Auckland, and it's predator free. And we went, sat on the coast just after dark, and watched them come in, which was really cool. Like they've got a bit of a bigger colony, and they've got like nesting boxes that the birds use. So you can just see them sitting there in the nesting boxes.
Oh, okay.
And just open up the top and they're just sitting there and they're quite happy and they don't run away. But when they're coming on to land, like if there's any light or if they think that there's any danger, like they will veer away or like kind of retreat back and forth. And so we had to sit like really quietly and then watch them come in and hear them all calling out to each other. And
yep.
Yeah, it was so cool. But yeah, they're quite cautious, but it was just so awesome seeing them. Like we had the red light to kind of watch them, you know, the red light on your torch.
So they couldn't.
Yeah, so it doesn't upset them.
Okay.
And it was really cool just being able to sit there and watch them and kind of preening around and calling out to each other. And yeah. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that's happening here, obviously, as well. And, it's awesome. Like two seabirds, not just a grey-faced petrel, also the little blues that we're protecting.
Wow.
Mm.
All right. Well, there must be other birds, though, too.
Seabirds.
On the mountain.
Well, yeah, heaps of other birds.
Yeah.
But in terms of seabirds, like right on the coast. But, yeah, tui, bellbird, like kaka, all sorts are there.
Yeah. All the usuals.
All the usuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the bats.
Oh, and the bats. Mm. How are the bats?
The bats are good. Yeah. We're kind of trying to locate a few more bat monitors so we can do more.
A bat monitor is an electronic item.
Yeah. It's like an acoustics. They pick up the sound frequency from the bats.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, we had a really amazing post on Facebook, and I think Bexy followed it up, that a guy had picked up a little bat.
Found it somewhere.
Found it, yeah.
And let him pick it up? How did
that
work?
I can't remember the details. I'll ask her next time I talk to her properly. But, yeah, so actually found one, like, somewhere in their backyard. And I've talked to a few people recently that have said, oh, is there bats here? Because I'm pretty sure I saw some, like, at night when I was out on the farm. And and they are often around farmland and, you know, remnant bush and either native or introduced trees, big trees that they use for roosting. So, yeah, we definitely know we've got the bats around and all the predator control we do helps those birds. And
bats.
And bats.
Yeah. Some other birds you want to help at the moment, the matuku.
Yeah, the matuku.
So you've got a matuku muster. What's that about?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a new thing. We've been doing a bit of work with the Toruparu Hurepo Wetland Restoration Project, which is run by Ngāti Whakamahurangi.
So where is that exactly?
So the wetland is to the south of Karioi.
Yeah.
It's a big wetland, about 500 hectares, and the marae is just right there on the edge of it, and lots of, you know, farmland and still some remnant, beautiful remnant bush. And so we've been supporting them and doing the predator control. But part of the reason, not only did I want to just protect the wetland for wetland's sake, but also because there's remnants of these matuku or bittern that are still there. And so there's a little bit of funding from DOC around the Endangered Species Fund.
Yep.
And so kind of targeting those areas like where we've heard them, because they have this booming sound that they make.
Can we make the sound?
Oh, well, sure.
See, when we were searching for it on the website. If I turn up the side speaker, you might hear it, because you won't hear it over the main one. So let's try that. Oh, it's not very loud. There we go. Can you hear that at all?
No.
It should be coming out of there. We can't hear it on the radio.
Oh, good.
It's booming. You still can't hear that? Don't worry, we definitely can be heard on the radio.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, if you like that sound, we have something in store for you.
Yeah. Tell us, Crystal.
Yeah. So we're teaming up with the Love Bitten Project. This is this awesome woman that does this all pretty much voluntary, I think. And she's organising all these groups around the country to do this matuku muster. Sounds pretty cool. Instead of sheep, we're mustering matuku.
Yeah.
No, which means that we're basically going to go out at 3 consecutive months and for a couple of nights and listen out for these birds. And I know that doesn't sound as exciting as maybe some of us think it is, but basically when we first started looking for seabirds, that's pretty much what you do. You spend time at night when you know they're coming in or when you know they're around and listening to the sound of birds, right? And so this is what we're going to do with these guys, is just have as many people as possible at different hotspots, so wetlands around the region, so not just the one at Toraparu, but also we've got a wetland here in town, we've got a wetland out on Ohatara Road.
Yes, Craig, bitterns, they are birds.
What?
I just had a text from Craig.
They are birds.
What says, there's bitterns, those birds with question marks. I think he wasn't sure if we were talking about birds or some other type of animal.
Oh, right, yes, they are birds.
They're birds.
Thanks, Craig.
Fly.
Yeah, yeah, they do fly.
Actually, and that's a relevant point in New Zealand, because so many don't. But this one does.
Yeah. So anyway, very cryptic, kind of secretive.
Why do they describe it as cryptic? That's so...
because it means you don't see it very often. Because most people don't hang around a wetland because they tend to be
means confusing.
No, cryptic means secretive. In biology.
On biology, not on crosswords.
Yeah, cryptic, it means when you're hiding from predators, you're tucked away in the grass, like your colouring is maybe, you know, helps you disguise yourself from, you know, the rest of the habitat.
So Craig wasn't asking if they're birds, he was asking if that booming sound was them. Yes, that booming sound was a bittern.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the male, I think. Anyway, we're going to be listening out for them, and we'd love as many people as possible to come along. You can schedule it in because it's planned for September, October, and November. So many fun things on, you know.
Yeah, like,
if you don't have a social life, you just have to go to our pages and you've got one.
Yeah. Is that social? So going out into the fields at night and being quiet.
Yeah.
It's
a new type of dating.
It's a new type. Is that what the bitten
and boyfriend muster? If you need it,
if you need
a new partner, you can muster them up at the bitten.
Is the bitten dating though? Is that what the booming sound
they
is
are.
Though?
That's yes.
what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, join the bitten in there or matuku in their dating evening with the bitten.
Excellent. If that doesn't appeal, what else you got, Crystal?
Yeah. Okay, and then we have bait deployers, which are awesome. So you get to go up the mountain and you get to go up places that no one else gets to go to. We train you up, which is very simple, and you have to carry a bit of stuff.
But
you go up the mountain for, it takes about 3, 4, 5 hours max. All up, and you have a great day up there. Filling bait stations.
If you're super squeamish, are you going to be like emptying the bait stations as well? Is that, if you're super squeamish, might not be your thing?
Yeah, but it's not squeamish. It's just like a plastic bag with some old toxin in it. Like, it's not dead rats or anything.
Of course, it's a bait station.
Yeah, it's a bait station.
The animal's not going
to
be there.
It actually feels really clean because you don't have to deal with maggots or dead stuff. You just
put this lovely little
bag of toxin, which is all wrapped up, so you don't have to touch. You don't have to touch the toxin. You put the little bag in the bait station. You close it and you walk away. It's really simple and it's a great day up there. You get to see some beautiful bush that no one else gets to see usually.
Okay.
And a great day and lots of cake.
Okay, and what's this? folks, I'm looking at the Karioi Project newsletter, and there's this photo of Crystal and two other women dressed up. What are you dressed as?
We like cave woman.
All right, okay. Power Our Rangers Into the Future, coming soon, August 24. What's that?
So that's
our Give a Little campaign,
and we've kind of tried to zhuzh it up a bit so to make it entertaining for people. You can blame Lenny.
Job done.
You can blame Lenny.
Lenny's smart. Like, this was Lenny's idea, but you had to do it, not him.
Yeah. He's in it too.
Oh, he's in it
this
too.
This is the least offensive picture we could find.
What's going on at the Karioi Project at the moment?
Little teaser there just to get people, you know, interested and excited about donating to our great cause. So we're trying to raise about $30,000, which is for an off-road side-by-side that we need to get up and down the mountain.
Vehicle, yeah.
And, someone said to me, that sounds like a lot of money. So we're just trying to aim for something that's going to be really helpful. It'll also help cover some of the costs of running the vehicle and maintenance and all that. And if there's anything left over, if we can get a good second-hand one, we might put a little bit of money into buying a education van as well, because the one that we've got is getting a little bit old.
Okay, so that's the one you run around for the kids.
For the kids program. But it's just our major kind of give a little campaign to ask the community to get behind and support the cause. And so we've got a little film coming out to give you a bit of an idea of what that's all about, and that's coming up in the next couple
of weeks.
Is
that going to feature all these cave people?
Yes, so it's kind of bringing, you know, Power Our Rangers bring us into the future. So we're coming out from the dark ages into the future of having
a
vehicle.
See. Right, there's a high concept thing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, and on the sort of serious topic of funding, you got any comments about the announcement from the head of the project at Maunga Tauturi?
Helen.
Sanctuary Mountain saying that they have not got enough money, they might have to close.
Yeah.
I mean, they need more than 30,000. They probably need like 3 million.
They need about 5,000 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got really high turnover because they have a big fence. So when people say to me, are we going to get a fence? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Unless you want to fundraise for it. But, I mean, Maunga Tauturi is amazing. It was like, it's a state-of-the-art, like, you know, amazing concept, and it's like a bird zoo, isn't it? And it's huge, and it's got had an amazing community-led project, and they need more support. Yeah. And actually the support they need, even though it sounds like a lot of money, it's actually nothing when you consider where it's located and how much money floats around those communities. But they're basically kind of putting up their hand and saying, hey guys, this isn't sustainable for us to continue like this. We need secure funding that will help us do our operations.
The government funding has dropped, but it wasn't necessarily this government which is getting the blame for all that, and usually rightly so, but it was actually, it was probably when Chris Hipkins became Prime Minister, I imagine, or something. There was a big...
I think over the last...
I actually didn't read it. What I read was that before this current government, the last government did cut their funding through DOC.
Yeah, and also a lot of money went into Jobs for Nature.
That's
dropped off now. And we all knew that was going to happen. But, you know, Regional Council has committed to projects like ours and Maunga Tauturi and Porongia and Meg on the East Coast long term.
Yeah.
They've got funds set up to, like, that are in 4-year cycles. And that's the kind of thing that we need from DOC. is that four-year cycles of consistent funding so can projects who actually run on a shoestring, like these guys are, you know, they've got thousands of Kiwi, they're translocating Kiwi all across the country and stocking, you know, Kiwis like in Wellington, Taranaki, everywhere. They've got kakapo there, you know, in their fence sanctuary. They've got so many amazing birds and they just need that consistent support. It's relentless otherwise trying to find the money to do this stuff. So, and that's the appeal.
And we know that.
They're not shutting down as in like they're not going to operate. But
I think that's kind of like the headline.
If they've got a massive reduction in funding, they're going to have to cut jobs. They're going to not be able to do the things that they're doing. And what they're doing is cutting edge and it's amazing. Mm. So we should be supporting them. And I think this is just a cry for help.
And the Karioga, well, it is literally.
Yeah.
It was a cry for help.
Yeah, of course, you got to keep supporting us as well. But
Yeah. And the radio station too.
Yeah.
Someone donated.
And everyone else.
We've got to give a little. Someone gave us $10 the other day, I noticed. So thank you very much, whoever that was.
Yeah. We had someone donate $60 the other day, which is awesome. I love all those little bits of money. If everyone did that, we would have no money shortage.
It's actually very, well, we'd have the money. Notice I go there.
Yeah.
It's encouraging when people do that.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, folks, we've been talking to Crystal from the Karioi Project. Thank you for coming in.